In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began, God was here and now among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purposes of heaven. God is in the future, when we have turned to dust and all we know has found its fulfillment. God will be not denying the world, but delighting in it, not condemning the world, but redeeming it through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. God was, God is, God will be. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognize his presence with us. As God's people we have gathered, let us worship him together. A very warm welcome to our worship for this week from St. Mary's. A particular welcome to the Reverend Hannah Smith, who is preaching for us this morning. Hannah is the priest in charge of St. Wilfrid's in Holton and St. Philip's in Osmanthorpe. I'm really glad and thankful that she's agreed to preach for us this morning. We look forward to hearing what she has to say a little later. So we continue in worship by singing the first of our hymns, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Of God has dawned upon the world with healing for all. Let us come to him in sorrow for our sins, seeking healing and salvation. We need your healing, merciful God. Give us true repentance. Some sins are plain to us, some escape us, some we cannot face. Forgive us, set us free to hear your word to us, set us free to serve you. Amen. May the Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon and forgiveness of all your sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and strength of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your Church, open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Alleluia, alleluia. The word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord is the good news announced to you. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Immediately after feeding the crowd with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed a strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you this morning at St. Mary's Whitkirk, wherever you are watching this at home. My name's Hannah Smith, and I'm the vicar of St. Wolfers Holton and St. Philip's Osmanthorpe, and it's a joy to be with you at St. Mary's Whitkirk, wherever you are today. So this morning I'm going to ask you the question, what are you afraid of? Yes, you sat at home this morning, Sunday morning, what are you afraid of? There are some obvious answers, aren't there? Snakes, spiders, heights, that's my particular thing, I'm petrified of heights. It may be that you're afraid of cancer or terror attacks. There's more subtle things that we fear, aren't there? Things like being left out, not being liked, perhaps being picked last to be on a team, or how to negotiate a tricky social situation. There's lots of things that make us afraid on a regular basis. And fear is an extremely strong emotion. It can be greatly influential in our lives, and often we don't even realise it or even admit it to ourselves. As the last few months have shown, the world is a risky place, and there are no guarantees. Yet none of us think that being controlled by fear is a good thing. One of the phrases that Bishop Nick has often used over the past few months that I find really helpful is that we are called as Christians to be drawn by hope, not driven by fear. Now, there are many benefits to following Jesus and many ways in which our lives have a richness because of him. But perhaps one of the greatest victories of our faith is the knowledge that Jesus faced the worst that human life can throw at a person. Humiliation, betrayal, physical pain, spiritual desolation. Yet he endured it and he overcame it. At Easter, Christ conquered the grave. And therefore, as Christians, we know that in Christ there is nothing that we need fear, not even death. Yet, this reality, and it is a reality, is very hard to live up to, isn't it? In our daily lives, we still feel fear on a regular, possibly even a daily basis. So how do we make sense of this? How do we find the reality of God's invitation to bring people who are drawn by hope, not driven by fear, on a day-to-day basis? The famous German theologian Jürgen Moltmann wrote in his book, The Theology of Hope, of how civilizations through the ages have been afraid of time, afraid of the future and the potential changes it brings. And I find this resonates today as we do have quite a lot of trepidation about the new normal and what changes will happen. And Moltmann suggests that ancient cultures therefore embraced a cyclical view of time, that time was a cycle, focusing on repeating patterns and years and seasons to remind themselves of familiar things. And there's some sensibleness in this, because actually Being in touch with nature and its rhythms help us have an anchor. Yet Moltmann also suggests that we as Christians are different. We believe that history has a trajectory, a direction, and that Christ's actions in the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection and the ascension interrupted time irrevocably, and therefore time is forever changed and will keep changing until the kingdom comes in all its fullness. As Christians, we are future-facing. We're drawn by hope. We are people who should expect and respond well to change. Now, Jesus has the habit of interrupting our comfortable existences with his upside-down kingdom if we let him, and sometimes when we don't, which is disturbing yet also delightful. And we see this in our gospel reading today for his disciples. Matthew 14 begins, as we've heard in the last couple of weeks, with the death of John the Baptist, news which upsets Jesus. And when Jesus tries to get some space to mourn, immediately people arrive wanting a piece of him, and 5,000 families end up getting pieces of bread and fish thrown into the bargain. Jesus is mourning. We don't know the exact relationship between himself and John, but we can guess that John's death would have had a deep impact on Jesus, both the loss of a friend, but also the foreboding feeling that he is next. So once the 5,000 plus have been fed, Jesus sends his disciples away in a boat. Our translation says he made, not he invited, but he made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead. Now, I wonder what they thought he would do while he made them go off. Perhaps they guessed from previous experience that Jesus wanted time to pray, to be with his father, to grieve, and to fortify himself with the presence of the other two members of the Trinity. What the disciples hadn't guessed from previous experience is that Jesus would join them by walking across the lake. And this story occurs after the stilling of the storm by Jesus, and the disciples are not seen to be in the same kind of distress that they were then. From the three accounts of this story in Matthew, Mark, and John, it seems to suggest that it was just windy, and therefore it was taking quite a lot of time and effort for the disciples to get across the lake because they had to row. So Jesus has simply decided to take a shortcut. The disciples were not afraid of the storm, but they were afraid when they saw a man walking on the water, and understandably so. Then we hear these fantastic words of Jesus. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Interestingly, the disciples are afraid of something new and different that Jesus has done that seems unimaginable. But Jesus calms them in their fear by showing them who he was, "It's I," and reminding them of his presence with them. And we know the story that Peter then is inspired by the new thing that Jesus is doing, has a go at himself. He is urged on by Jesus. And as the reading described, Peter didn't last that long walking on water. He had a go, he didn't do too badly, but he took his eyes off Jesus. And then he began to sink as he noticed the wind and the waves around him. Jesus saves him and they get in the boat and the wind dies down. The thing that changed their fear is the presence of Christ and their awareness of who he was. And how we see God and who we think he is vital to our conception and experience of fear. The famous verse, I'm sure you know it, in 1 John, reminds us that perfect love casts out all fear. And I believe that to be true. If we could fully comprehend and be filled with the fullness of God and his love in every situation, then fear would not be part of our lives. Yet we live in the shadowlands, and we see only in part. We do not yet see the fullness of the kingdom. If our belief about God is that he's actually a judge or a spy or a disciplinarian or a bully, then the belief that God is always present to us only intensifies our fear. It doesn't dispel it. Yet, when we see the character of God as revealed in Jesus, the one he came to serve and not to be served, the one who had time for the outcast, the widow and the prostitute, the one who did not cast the first stone at the sinful woman, even though he was the only one who could have, then we can begin to grasp the edges or a little bit of the love that knows no bounds and is committed to our good. It's sobering to read in a review of the book How God Changes Our Brain, that contemplating a loving God strengthens the portions of our brain, particularly the frontal lobes and the anterior cingulate, where empathy and reason reside. Contemplating a wrathful God empowers the limbic system, which is filled with aggression and fear. It's a sobering concept. The God we choose to love changes us into his image, whether he exists or not. We become what we contemplate. Yet, as we ever learn of the depth of God's love, as we understand God as revealed in the compassion and grace of God, it transforms us into his image and grows our bravery and subdues our fear. It's helpful to remember that 1 John doesn't say perfect love makes your life perfect, or perfect love gets you a lovely home, family, job, house, whatever else. The disciples are not spared the storms either in the Gospels or in their lives after the resurrection. But they learn through experience that having the presence of Jesus in the midst of the storm gives the storm some perspective and decreases their fear. In some translations of this passage, Jesus' words are translated as, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid," rather than "take heart." And courage is always something worth considering when we're exploring the idea of fear. Courage is often described as not having the absence of fear, but the ability to feel the fear and do it anyway. The ability to recognise our fear, to not be overwhelmed by it, and to be able to control it in order to do the things that we want to or the things that we're called to do. I do believe that one day we'll have no more fear, and I personally wish that day would come pretty soon. But I am learning in many different ways that the journey of discipleship often calls us to grow our courage and our confidence in Christ's presence with us, so that when we encounter fear, we can master it. It does not control us. It doesn't mean that it's gone, it just means that it doesn't have the ultimate say in how things go. What if bravery and courage are muscles that we can build as we practice them and learn to master fear in small ways, and then slowly in bigger and bigger ways? Our other reading from Romans hears Paul urging the early church in Rome to speak out the gospel, to share their faith with others, as how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? Speaking out our beliefs is something that we can often not do because we have a fear barrier. Whether our beliefs about Jesus or our beliefs about justice or the coming of the kingdom, we're often scared to say what we feel or think. Yet as disciples, silence is not an option. We are called to speak out for the ways of the kingdom. Whether that's offering to pray for a friend who's in a difficult time, or standing up against racism in society. Perhaps we can be inspired to stand up and to speak up when we're called to do so, by taking small, slow steps of courage, practicing bravery, growing our confidence as we are assured deeper and deeper of the great and wide love of Jesus, whose presence does take away the power of fear. The 12th century Persian poet Rumi said this: "Forget safety, live where you fear to live. Forget safety, live where you fear to live." The world we live in now is in many ways a more fearful place than even a few months ago. The future is very uncertain. But can we, as followers of Christ, find a way to turn the fear on its head and embrace the new normal as an opportunity for positive change that focuses on future hope rather than the fear of the unknown? Can we cultivate bravery by learning afresh the mercy and generosity of God and living as if he is present with us, whatever we face? This morning, where is Jesus in the windy weather or the storm that you may be facing, even today? So let's just spend a few moments of stillness reflecting on those questions before I close in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise and thank you that you are full of love for each one of us. We thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us in every situation. Help us see your presence in our lives this day, whether we are sailing on calm waters or feel like we're in the midst of a storm. Help us recognise you, to know you more deeply, and grow our courage that we may be part of making your kingdom come in this place. Pray all these things in the name of Christ who loves us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone.
Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a slave. He was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Heavenly Father, at this time we thank you for the wonders you have created in this world that we so often take for granted. In this time of global difficulty, help us to continue to appreciate the small wonders of the world you created for us. Listen to us as we pray to you, and help us to see your way instead of ours. We pray for our church and its leaders at this time. We pray that you will help us through this period where we cannot physically meet, and continue to keep your church strong as we work towards meeting in person once again. From the Anglican Cycle of Prayer, we pray for the Province de l'Église Anglicane au Rwanda and the Most Reverend Laurent Mbanda, Archbishop of l'Église Episcopale au Rwanda and Bishop of Shira. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Just as you guide our steps, we pray that you will watch over our leaders. Guide the steps of our government and help them to act swiftly to deal with any further outbreaks of coronavirus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all affected by the explosion in Beirut on Tuesday. We ask for your guidance for the rescue workers searching for survivors, reassurance for the injured, and peace for all who have died. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. During this time of uncertainty for all, we pray for the homeless and for the volunteers and charities who are working with and alongside them. We pray that this time of coronavirus may present opportunities to end rough sleeping in the UK. Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm doth bind the restless wave, we pray for the work of the RNLI. We thank you for the work they do to protect our shores and waters, helping us when we are in difficulty. Protect them as they carry out this essential service, rescuing those in peril on the sea. We ask for your blessing on our church wardens and PCC as they guide our church community through this strange time. We pray for the residents of Windsor Avenue and for the safety of all taking holiday breaks at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind or spirit, especially George Brown, Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Jennifer Mode, Margaret Tomlinson, Lynn Pickersgill, Mike Jackson and Jean Clemenson, and all those being cared for in this parish. Give them courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In our death, we are reunited with you. We ask that you hear our prayer for all those who have died and for those who mourn in these troubled times. We pray for those who have recently died. Pat Yates, Nora Matson, Audrey Holland, and from the year's mind, Elizabeth Walker, Kelly Tahani. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. United with the Church across the world, let us pray with confidence using the words our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light to our paths, and a strength in to our lives. Take us and use us to love and serve in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. For all that God can do within us, for all that God can do without us, thanks be to God. For all in whom Christ lived before us, for all in whom Christ lives beside us, thanks be to God. For all the Spirit wants to bring us, for where the Spirit wants to send us, thanks be to God. Christ has promised to be with us in the world as in our worship. Amen. bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you, your homes, and those whom you love, this day and always. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Blessing, honour, and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen.